Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
This afternoon as well, we want to put a close to our series that we have been studying lately, Run to Win. Run to Win. We want to put a close to that. I may not finish the message because of time, but some of them I will be, you know, posting some of these messages on a Facebook group that we are about to launch. So I will be, when it's launched, I will be asking you to register. Just, you know, register yourself for the Facebook group so that you can receive teachings that will not be done here. There are lots of teachings that we can't do on a Sunday. Sunday is a celebratory. We can't go deeper into stuff. So some of these things we'll be posting in the week. I want to appreciate those of you who keep on tuning in during the week. On Wednesdays, we have Bible study. We delve deeper into the Bible, take our time reading scriptures and trying to unravel the mysteries of the Most High God. Then we have on Friday, general fellowship, which is usually online on Facebook and on YouTube. So tune in. Do not, if you are at home, I know most of you are at home. Some of us are working, yes, but if you are at home, make sure that you are in tune with others. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's go into the word right now. Read our core scripture again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 27. Paul asks a question. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one receives the prize? Then he gives a command. So, with that knowledge, run that you may obtain it. Run with a purpose. Run that you may obtain that prize. Hallelujah. He says, every athlete exercises self-control, not in some things, but in all things. And they do it, he says, to receive a perishable wreath or a perishable prize. But for us, we do it to receive an imperishable one. Hallelujah. So then he says, with that in mind, he says, I do not run aimlessly. I do not run without purpose. I do not box the air. I do not box the air. He uses an analogy of two athletes, one a runner and another one a boxer. A boxer does not just box air. He has got to have a target. If it's not a person, what else does he have? What else does he have? A punching bag. Hallelujah. He's not punching aimlessly. You're not in church aimlessly. You're not following Jesus aimlessly. You must have a target. You cannot just come to church anyhow. You cannot just be a Christian anyhow. You must have a target, and your target is already there. There is a prize. Paul is giving us an insight to us that there's something, there's a crown that is awaiting us in heaven. And that you must run for it. You must run that you may obtain it. Hallelujah. I am not in this just to run. Somebody say, I am in it to win. Yeah, say it, I am in it to win. And you will win if you put your effort in it. You will win. Hallelujah. But then it says, in order to win, in verse 27, it says, in order, I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Disqualified. Hallelujah. So why tame the body? He's asking. We're talking about taming the body today. Taming the body. Why tame the body? Why do I need to tame the body? Why do you need to tame the body? You need to tame the body because the body is like a wild animal. This body is like, let me tell you, in these days, it is better to come face to face with a lion in a dark alley than coming face to face with some people. A lion may spare you, but there are some people who may not spare you because they are wild. Have you ever seen people in a riot? They bring out the wildness in them. Recently, there were pictures all over the world about the insurrection in the United States of America. Did you see that? Did anybody see that on telly? If you haven't seen, you need to see. You need to see how wild a person can be. Do not be deceived by that hairdo that your neighbor is adorning. That person has got a propensity to become wild. Hallelujah. There's a book we read in school in literature called The Lord of the Flies. I don't know if anybody has ever read that book. Lord of the Flies. These are young men, young boys who find themselves on an island. Young boys, innocent boys. But after some time, they start killing one another. They start killing one another. Where is this coming from? The heart, the human heart, is like meat that attracts flies instead of attracting holy stuff. So what the writer says that, you know, what he's trying to say is that these hearts became like fly, like, you know, like meat that is rotten meat that is attracting flies. And when it hit these boys, they started killing one another, fighting to get on top of one another. So, my friend, this body is good. It's good. But if not kept under control, not tamed, it can become wild. You understand? If left to its devices, it can go on the rampage. It can go on the rampage. Some people can drink themselves silly. Some people can get on drugs and do all sorts of stuff. You understand? But why are we not doing that? But you know, Paul says that the runner, the athlete, is temperate in all things. I can guarantee you that every person sat here is not temperate in all things. There's an area where you are lacking. I do not have to be a prophet to know that. You understand? Myself at this side of the microphone, there's a place where I'm lacking. And that's what we come to address today. That we need to address, we need to look at those points, those weak points, and begin to address them. Do you understand? That we may be temperate in all things so that we may win this prize. That's why, my friend, we must put this body on a tight leash. We need to keep the body under control. Taming ourselves is the only way we can win in life here, but also be sure to get that prize in heaven. Hallelujah. Human beings know how to train animals. Have you seen circus? The circus. You see guys with wild animals in a circus. He brings a tiger, and a tiger cannot. A tiger inherently, if it looks at a person, what does it want to do? To just chew him up or her. But this person has taken hold of this animal, this wild animal, and he has tamed it. So that even when it is among people, the appetite is gone. The appetite for eating people has gone. What happened? It was tamed. It was tamed. People tame animals. They train tigers. They train lions. They train elephants to do things that they want to do. But then, there's a problem. They find it hard to tame themselves. Do you understand the conundrum there? You can tame others, but you fail to tame yourself. And that's what happens with us. We tend to look into other people's lives and to become a judge in their lives. Yet we forget. That's what Jesus Christ was saying, that, you know, stop pointing fingers at others. We are experts at identifying faults in others and trying as much as we can to tame them, and yet we ourselves remain wild in some areas. I don't know what your area is. Every chair in this place that is occupied has got an area. And there was an amen in the house. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, an untamed body will trip you. An untamed body will trip you. As you advance, it will trip you. In the race of life, it will trip you. And it will deny you your prize that awaits for you And we refuse that in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Paul says, one who runs, he runs to win. He says, run so that you may win. How does the athlete run to win? He runs to win because he runs according to the rules. According to the rules of the race. These human races have got rules. And an athlete who does not follow the rules of the race has got to be disqualified. Hallelujah. To win the win, to win the race, you must follow the rules. You must keep your body under. You must train yourself to follow the rules. 2 Timothy chapter 5, chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Paul speaks about this as he's speaking to Paul, to Timothy. And he says, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Did you hear that? To be crowned, you need to run or to compete according to the rules. If you come with your own rules, because that's how a wild animal, somebody who's wild, is somebody who wants to come with their own rules. You come into this place of work. The place of work has got its policies. It has got its rules. But you do not even want to go to the policies to read what the policies are. You come with your own rules. Let me tell you, you will not even spend a day there. You will be kicked out of that place. Do you understand? You have got to follow the rules. In the rest of life, we have got to follow the rules. Unless you follow the rules, you will be disqualified. That's what Paul says. I keep my body under so that after running, I may not be disqualified. After teaching others, after preaching others, I may not be disqualified. Disqualification was what Paul was worried about. That's what you should be worried about, my friend. That's what you should be worried about. Do you understand? That Greek word, the Greek word for disqualification is athokimos. Athokimos. It means being worthless. At the end, all people run, but not all win. I think you have seen, I don't know how many of you have watched, you know, just a little bit of athletics. The cameras will only be focused on the third. Let's talk about a marathon, by the way. Let's leave the sprint. Talk about a marathon. Marathon has got many runners in it. 500, they run, is it 500 kilometers or 5,000 kilometers? What is the longest race they run? 10,000. 10,000 kilometers. And there are people in there, about 50, all begin to run. They are running. But who does the camera focus on? They don't have time to focus on all of them. They will focus on the winner or the third or the fourth. And the rest of them, you will never see. The cameras will turn away. Because according to them, they are worthless. Yeah, worthless. They will run and they will come to the finish line. Just like as the others who went ahead of them. But nobody will be interested in showing them. You know why? Because they are useless. It's like they are worthless. A person who's disqualified is one who has not met the test. And he says, Paul, I do not want to run this race as I teach others. And when I come before my God, when the test, and as we shall see later on, I don't want to come before my Lord and miss or, you know, fail the test and be found unfit. Being disqualified is being found unfit. Unfit to receive the prize. Hallelujah. In other words, the person who's disqualified has not been pleasing to the judges. Because every race has got a judge. It's got a referees. People who are looking and saying, has he followed the rules? If he has followed the rules, then okay, he qualifies. Hallelujah. There is a judge for every race. I guarantee to you, I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that even in this race of life, we have a judge. You understand? Person disqualified because he did not run according to the rules of the race. And that's why Paul says, you must run according to the rules. Run so that you can win. Disqualification happens in the races of human games and all those games that we play around. I mean, not play those games that we compete in the Olympics, but discol- qualification also happens in the race called life. That means that a person did not please God. Did not please the judge. They did not run according to the rules. Let me tell you, I rather please God than please man. You rather please God than please man. Hallelujah. Who decides who gets the prize? They are judges who are on the sidelines. Who are on the sidelines following the race. And they are looking, they are observing the actions of the athletes. They are observing the actions. They are observing the actions. Somebody say actions. Yeah, they are observing the actions of the athletes whilst they are on the racetrack. They are observing what they are doing with their bodies. Actions means what you do with your body or what you do in the body. Because remember, you are a spirit in the body. So what you do whilst you are in the body tantamounts to your actions. And that's what the judge is looking to or at. So if you have not trained the body well to run according to the rules, guess what? You will be disqualified. Now Paul realizes this quickly and he identifies that the problem, the hindrance, the roadblock to his prize is none other than his body. The enemy is his body. The enemy is not anybody else out there. The enemy is his body. Enemy number one is you, the body. Not you, by the way, because you and the body are different. You need to realize that. I want you to capture that you and the body are different. You understand? Yeah. That is why when the Lord calls you home, there's a separation. Straight away, you know that. Look at yourself right now. All of us have got homes. None of us is homeless here. Thank God. But did you come with your home today? No. You left your home in whatever postcode it is, and you are here. That shows that you and the house in which you live are different. They're different entities. Do you understand that? You are different entities. Some of us came driving cars. But did you come upstairs with your car? No. Why? Because you are not your car. Your car is a different entity and you are a different entity. But because you are in charge, you drive the car wherever you want it to go. That's why you get at home and say, I'm tired of this white. I'm in your living room. I'm gonna change it into yellow. The house does not have a say. It will follow what you tell it. So the judge, my friend, is looking at what you are doing in that body, what I am doing in this body. And Paul realizes that and says, you know what? I'm not going to allow this body to be in as a roadblock. It won't hinder me from getting my prize. He identifies it. That's the reason why he begins to tame the body. Tame the body. Tame the body. Tame the body so that you are not disqualified. He realizes, let me tell you, good intentions do not tantamount to the results that you want. You may have good intentions. That's why at the beginning of the year, I don't know about you, but most people have got resolutions for the year. This year, I'm going to lose weight. So, how are you going to lose weight? I'm going to be going to the gym. I'm going to start swimming. And they register with the gym. These days, and this year we had an issue with the coronavirus, but in the years when everything is okay, the people start going to the gyms. Week one, he's there. Week two, he's there. Week three, he's there. Week four, he begins to... Who is willing? The man is willing, but the body is saying, you know what? No. Why don't you stay? Why don't you sleep in? Even coming to church, by the way, some people, the spirit is willing, but no. You look outside there and you see how cold it is. You just stick your nose there and it's freezing. You say, no, I'd rather sleep in. The body begins to take charge. So you had good intentions, but good intentions by themselves do not bring results. You understand? did not bring results. The spirit may be willing, but most cases the body is weak. As much as you intend or aim to win the prize, it does not just happen. You must do something about your goal. But in most cases, you must do something about you. You must do something about who? You. Because Paul realized that there was a judge who was watching. There was a judge who was watching. And he's the one who decides who gets the prize. So my friend, stop trying to please everybody. Realize who gives the prize and endeavor to please that one. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why he writes to Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. If you came with water, it's time to drink water. This is what it says. It says, henceforth, there is laid up, where? Laid up in heaven, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, who? The righteous judge, the one who is observing. You hear that? Who the righteous judge will award to me on that day. There is a day. Waliyo lunaku. Arizoba. Rumusi. In case you want to pretend you didn't understand it in English. There is a day. He says, the righteous judge will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. There is a what? There is a righteous judge. What is he doing? He is watching every move. There is a day called the day of judgment. Do not forget that. I should not forget that as I walk, as I go to Tesco, as I go to my office, as I go to take my kids to school, I must realize all the time that there's a judge who is watching. There's a judge who is watching what I am doing, what I am saying. Do you understand that? There's somebody watching. The Bible says that unbelievers will be judged according, in the first sense, they will be condemned, those who did not believe in God or in Jesus Christ. But then he says that believers, you and I, have got a special hearing. A special hearing will appear before the seat of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what we call the Bema judgment, the Bema seat. The Bema seat, where all believers will be judged. A special judgment for believers, where our actions will be judged. There's a God. This is where God will reward our actions. Are you following me? Psalm 62 verse 12 says, and that you, O Lord, are loving. It says, surely you will reward each person according to what he has done. According to what he has done. He's a righteous judge. He will not give you what you do not deserve. do you hear that? Jesus Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, in case you are thinking these are just words of Paul or the words of the psalmist, Jesus Christ himself said it. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, hear what he says. Matthew 16, verse 27. Yeah, it says, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father. He came as a baby, yeah, but there's a time on that day he's going to come as a what? He's going to come in that glory with angels from his Father, with the glory of his Father. He's going to come in a glorious way. When he came in Bethlehem, he came in an inconspicuous way. He came in a manger. He came, only people who had revelation are the ones who knew who he was. The wise men, those guys, they knew that this is not an ordinary person. But on this occasion, when he comes, he's going to come in glory. And then he says, and then he will do what? He will repay each person according to what he has done. Each person according to what he has done. Did you hear that? All believers must stand before God and be judged individually. That is why, my friend, I pity those people who just follow every other person. Don't just follow people. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not just follow any opinion. Because some people may cause you to answer for things that you were not supposed even to answer. Walk, that's why Paul tells us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You work out your salvation, your individual salvation. Is this hard? Is this a hard teaching? It is necessary. Work out your salvation. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is why it's not your place, by the way, to judge others. That's not your place. Because leave them alone, they will be judged. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, Paul says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Like I said earlier, most of us are very good at judging, you know, at passing judgment or trying to tame others while we as ourselves continue to be wild. Why? Says, why? Put that scripture up. Romans 14, 10, please. Mandelebo sikala mandelebo. Romans 14, 10. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Have you judged somebody lately? Have you? If you have, you need to repent. That's not your place. No. We do not judge. The Bible says, consider no man in the flesh according to the flesh. Do not judge people according to the flesh. That's not your place, my friend. Says, oh, why do you despise your brother? Some of you look at me and despise me. And that is okay. Because you despising me does not reduce who I am. As a matter of fact, it reduces you. Do you understand what I'm saying? You mean that pastor is so and so. It's up to you. Go ahead. Do you understand? Whoever despises you is despising himself. Some people will despise you because of your color. That's why I laugh at people who despise others because of their color. I laugh at them. Because when I look at them, they have got the same head like I have. They have got two eyes like I have. They have got one heart beating in their chest like I have. So what makes them superior? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it 21st century? Yeah, but we have got racism that is still rife. This morning I was just reading some news online on Sky, and there's this national footballer in this country who received some racial slurs recently because his side did not win. And this young man, I love the way he reacted to this. I think it's Rashford or something like that. He said, you know what? I will not give this person who has written these messages, you know, dignity by retweeting them or sending these messages out, because they are showing who they are. They are beneath me. It says, every day I live as a black man, and as I am proud to be a black man. Do you understand? In 2021, he's a national footballer. He received those silly stuff. Whoever tries to believe, you are not small. You are a child of God. Do not allow anybody to put you down because of what they look like, because they don't have the money that you have, or because they don't drive the car that you drive, they don't have the job that. Do not allow that. Whoever puts you down is putting himself down. They are far beneath you. Far beneath you. So you can despise as much as you can. That does not change who I am. Doesn't take a scintilla away from who I am. Or from you, for that matter, if somebody is belittling you. Let them judge you. But they are judging themselves. That's why you should not be among them that judge. Should not be among them that despise others. Do not despise people. You have no clue who they are going to become tomorrow. You don't have a clue. Today they may look, you know, they may not look the part, but tomorrow you have no idea. The one who created them has plans for them. You may be shocked. You may be forced to eat your words. So if you find people who are judging others, run away from them. Because that's not your place. That's what the Bible is saying. Paul was writing to the Romans. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? He says, oh, do you not? Why do you despise your brother? He says, for we all shall stand before the judgment seat of God. Leave it for God. And this is how Paul writes about this judgment that we're talking about. The Bema seat. Where all of us, all believers must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged. Where your actions, I don't know whether he will play a movie. I don't know whether he will have files, you know. Because there are two files, my friend, for everybody, I believe. One file, that is you. Me. Let me leave you out of this equation. Let me use myself as an example. I believe that there are two files for me. One file that will record my actions as Reuben. And another file that records the action I do in the name of Jesus. Because whatever I do in the name of Jesus is not me. Do you understand? Let us walk away from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. That was food for thought. You can go and ponder that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. This is what Paul says. We have 10 minutes and we're about to close. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. Write those scriptures down. This is what Paul says. Are you ready? He says, but for we must. It's not an option. You cannot opt out of this. I don't care who you are. So for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the Bema seat. Did you hear that? So that each one may receive what is due for what he has done. Where? In the body. Whether good or evil. So in case you had forgotten about that, going forward, you must be careful with what you do in the body. Run to win, because there's a reward. Whether you did good or bad, there's a reward. Either way. I don't know about you, but I want a reward for good, for doing good. That's why you must run to win that crown, my friend. How do you run? You run according to the rules. You run, knowing that there's somebody watching. When the runners are on that racetrack, they know that there are some people watching. The judges are watching. He may have run and gotten to the finish line before everybody, but maybe along the track, he did not run according to the rules. He will be disqualified. So everyone must appear. Whether you want it or not, you must appear before the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian. You must note that the Bema seat is not for condemnation for believers. It is for judgment of works. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 to 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15. This is Paul saying, say, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid. Which foundation is that? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are all building on that foundation that Jesus Christ laid for us. Amen. It says, now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, I don't know what you are using, but every one of us is building in a sense or another. What are you using to build? Whatever you are, some of us are using gold, some of us are using silver, but unfortunately some people are using hay and straw. What are you using? It says each one's work will become manifest on that day. Each one's work will do what? Will become manifest on that day. It says, for the day will disclose it. The day will disclose it. Why? Because it will be revealed by what? By water? No, by fire. It will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. It will be put in the fire. Then he says, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. He will do what? He will receive a reward. The next verse. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer a loss. This question, what are you using to build? What are you using to build? Are you using straw? Are you using hay? If you're using hay and straw, I can guarantee you it will be burnt. It says, though he himself will be saved, you will enter because this is not a judgment of condemnation, but only as through the fire, even you through the fire. If you enter through the fire and come on the other side, then thank God. What is he talking about? So the degree of reward is based on the things done in the body. That's why Paul beats the body, so that he may not be what? Disqualified, so that he may receive that prize. When his works are put through the fire, Paul wants his works to come through on the other side, so that he may receive the reward. What does it gain for a person? What does it gain for a person to win and get rewards here and get up in the presence of God and you are at a loss? You understand? Your accounts on this side were up here. But when you go before the Lord, you are in the red. God forbid, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The nature of the believer's works will be examined in this judgment to distinguish worthy works from worthless ones. That is where disqualification comes. And that's what Paul was worried about. That's what you should be worried about, child of God, as you traverse the streets of London, as you walk up and down. Hallelujah. These works are deeds that are done during the believer's Christian life. All will be reviewed and all will be examined. Those that pass through will be qualified, receive the crown. Remember, he even gave us that parable where he left talents to everybody according to their ability. And he came for the day of reckoning. Some had used them well, the other one had hidden them. Those who had used them well, he said, what did he say to them? Good and what? And faithful servant, you have been faithful in a few. Receive more and enter into the joy of the Lord. That is a crown that you should be fighting for. Hallelujah. The outcome of the judgment is either a reward or a deprivation. I refuse to be deprived of my crown in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. This is deprivation. I refuse that. You must be faithful with what God has put in your life. You must be faithful until the end. John clearly teaches this, that rewards may be lost because of unfaithfulness during one's lifetime. 2 John 8. 2 John verse 8. 2 John verse 8. Second John verse 8. Hallelujah. You see, he just look at those verses. He says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves. Look to yourselves. In other words, take care that you may not lose. Let's have it in the Amplified, please. I think the Amplified will bring it out for us properly. Mm-hmm. It says, look to yourselves. Take care. Do not live anyhow. Nagarare. That's not English. I'm trying to bring out what I'm trying to say. Living anyhow, lackluster, you know, without aim. That's why Paul says, I do not run aimlessly. I run with a purpose. Take care that you may not lose or throw away or destroy all that we and you have labored for. Why? But that you may preserve it. Preserve it. Preserve it. Preserve the win and receive, so that you may receive a perfect reward in full. Take care, child of God, take care. If you have been living anyhow from today, I'm beseeching you, I am beseeching myself that we turn back and say no to these works of the body. Take care of your body, take care of yourself. His concern was that believers would not receive the full reward. You need to receive the full reward. It is there to be received, my friend. You understand? That's why Paul is talking about taming the body. Because he knew that the body has got a propensity of letting him down. One key of winning this prize is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. In fact, it's not that it has got about many keys in there. Chapter 12, verse 1. Give me just about 3 or 4 minutes. Then we can finish. Hallelujah. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Where are these witnesses? These witnesses he's talking about are already in glory. He's talking about men like Moses. He's talking about men like Abraham. He's talking about men like Daniel. Daniel who said, you know what? I will not defile myself. Even when there was a spread of the king's delicacies in his face. He said, I will not touch them. Why? Because I'm not going to defile myself. You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to fight for the prize. He refused to eat the food of the king. It says, we are surrounded by such men. Men who were persecuted for the gospel. Men who were killed, some of them upside down, some of them dragged by horses. Talking about the apostles, the way they died. Go and find out how each one of them died. The horrible deaths. Those guys are there. And they are in the grandstand. Imagine yourself in a stadium. With people in the grandstand. These are the witnesses who are on the grandstand. They are watching you now who is on the pitch. They are watching me. Since we are surrounded by these guys who have gone on, who have run their race and have won. Says, let us also, you and me, let us also do what? Lay aside. Let's have it in the Amplified. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have become a testimony to the truth, it says, let us strip off. That's a serious language. Strip off. There are some things that are clinging to you that you must strip them off forcefully. Don't joke around with them. Strip them off. And throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight. There are some of us carrying unnecessary baggage. You are carrying things that you're not supposed to be. They are slowing you down. You cannot run this race when you are heavy laden. That's why Jesus Christ said, come to me, all you who are what? Who are weary and heavy laden. Hallelujah. Strip them off and throw them aside. Says, shit. Get off me. Every encumbrance. And every unnecessary weight. And then he says, and that sin By the way, he's not talking about sin there. Those encumbrances may not even be sin. There may be appetites. There may be other things. And then he adds that, and the sin which so readily clings to you and entangles to you, or entangles us. He says, let us put them aside and then do what? So that we may run. As we may run with patient endurance and steadfastness and active and persistence, this race or the course that has been appointed and set before us. Do you understand what I'm saying, child of God? There are some things. He's talking about the pressures of the flesh. Put them aside. Lighten yourself. Travel light. The athletes work hard to remove weight. They are not as chubby as I am. They work to put off that weight because you cannot run with weight. That's physical weight. But I'm talking about spiritual weight. Spiritual weight is what he's talking about here. You cannot run this race with endurance. And listen, did you hear what he said? Patient endurance. That means this is not a sprint. It is a marathon. The rest of life is not a sprint. It is a what? A marathon. You've got to run it with patient endurance. Steadfast under pressure. The person who's steadfast under the pressure of this body is the one who received the crown. James chapter 1 verse 12. This is what he says. James chapter 1 verse 12. The Bible says, I think we can read it in the Amplified as well. 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Ah, we must win. We must win. James chapter 1 verse 12. Says, blessed, happy, to be envied is the man who is patient under what? Under trial and stands up under temptation. In other words, a man who is steadfast. Why? For when he has stood the test, what will happen? And been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You may sing as much as you can, victor's crown, but if you are living recklessly, you will not get it. The victor's crown is one who is attained by those who stand, who are steadfast. Somebody said amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. You've got to be faithful until you are out of this world. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 says, do not fear what you're about to suffer or what you are suffering right now. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, he says, that you may be what? Tested. And he puts there a number of days. I don't know, some of us, maybe it may be, I don't know how many days. And you will have tribulation, he says, but be faithful unto death. Be faithful unto death. And then he says, I will give you the crown of life. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11, as we finish. That's the last verse I'm reading, I promise you. The rest of the things I will speak later. This is what it says. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. So every believer must keep in their mind. It says, behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Behold, I am coming soon. Therefore, hold fast what you have. Do not play around with it. Have you ever seen somebody holding something valuable? However much you try to trip him, he will fall down, but he will keep holding on to that which is valuable. He may break a leg, but that which is valuable is protected. He may break an arm, but that which is valuable is protected. Hold fast, hold fast, hold fast what you have. Don't joke around with it. Why? Because he's coming anytime. Anytime. He says, do not joke around with it. So that no one may seize your crown. So at what? No one may seize your crown. There is a crown for you. But you must fight for it. You must run to win it. Run so that you may win the crown. Child of God, as Christians, we cannot afford to live anyhow. Just because we say, oh, we are under the grace. The grace is not a license to live in any way. No. So what I've told you here, that the grace is a teacher. Grace teaches us how to live, how to become godly. Resign from all those things that encumber you. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says we need to strip them off and throw them away, every excess baggage. And this is how you do it. You train yourself by reading the Word. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God entails the rules of running this race. The Word of God. Read the Word of God. This is the manual for running this race. Read the Word. The Word will not read itself. The word will not enter by osmosis. I wish it were like that. You put it, some of us know how to put it under our pillows. That's okay. I'm not, you know, it's okay. You sleep with it, but that doesn't mean that it's being by Bluetooth. These days we talk about Bluetooth. It's not Bluetooth that the Word of God is entering you by Bluetooth. You've got to read it. You've got to study it. Get to know how to run this race according to the rules. And on top of that, pray. Pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says it's not by power, nor is it by might, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. Pray for the Spirit of the Lord to come into you and dwell in you, because the Bible says as long as the Spirit dwells in you, you have no time for the flesh. The people, it says, the people who are carnally mind, say they cannot please God because they cannot submit to the law, to His Word. The only way a human being submits to the Word of God is through the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. Close those eyes where you are. What is it that the Lord is pointing to you right now that you may shift and change? This is a life-changing message, my friend. This is a life-changing message. Do not play around with this message. Change. Where change is needed. Decide and make up a quality decision and say, you know what? I am going to run until I get this crown. There's nothing that's going to stop me. Not even my body. Not even my appetites. Not people. Some of you need to run away from some groups of people. They are putting you down. They're hindering you. Strip them off. If they're not going where you are going, why are you still hanging around with them? All they do is just talk about people. Talk. Some of us, the habits. Instead of running to God, we run to addiction, we run to sex, we run to alcohol, we run to drugs. Turn around and put that body, tame that body and put it where it needs to be, so that you may not be disqualified, my friend. Because there is a bema seat that is awaiting you, and you must appear before it. The works that you have done in this body will be put through the fire. The question is, will they pass through the fire? Will you receive the crown? Will you receive the prize? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we surrender our lives at the altar. If you need to kneel down, you can kneel down. If you need to prostrate, you can prostrate. In just a few minutes, let's drive this home. Let's leave this place a new people. I want to leave this place a new person. I don't know about you. Enough is enough of playing with salvation. Enough is enough of living life as though I am here permanently. Enough is enough. Mandele Bosi, there is a judge that is watching. And as that judge keeps watching, I want, when I appear before him, that the works that I have done in this body may pass on the fire. Father, we repent of every sin.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.